Good morning to you.
Good morning.
As I was praying what to share with you this morning, the Lord gave me one word: obey. Obey. And when you think of that word, of course, you think of Deuteronomy chapter 28. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy, of course, is in your Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm reading from the NIV, starting at verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth."
Amen.
All these blessings, say blessings.
Blessings.
All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And then it begins to list these blessings. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, and the lands he swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them." That was verses 1 through 14 of Deuteronomy 28, talking about the benefits, the blessings of obedience. But then there's this verse 15. Verse 15 says, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving today, all these curses," say curses, "will come upon you and overtake you." And quite frankly, I don't have time, because the blessings went from verses 1 to 14. The curses go from verse 15 all the way through, just through the end of the chapter, this to six, like six, good Lord, verse 68, from verse 16 to verse 68, blessings, this thing will happen, that thing will be happened. Verse 30 says, "You will be placed to be married to a woman, but another will take her and ravish her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit." Just on and on and on, just verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. I don't want that. I want to stay in the first 14 verses. It makes common sense that you would want to be blessed. Follow what the Lord told you to do. Some of what he's told you to do is black and white. It's just, you know, 10 commandments, very simple, very straightforward, that he's told all of us to do.
Yes.
But some of it is some stuff that he's told you specifically to do.
Yes.
That's right.
Some stuff he's told you, no one else has heard it, but he's told you some things to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard for us to obey.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do the obedience thing for a while, and we look for the blessing, and we don't see what we call the blessings. So I'm not going to obey anymore. I obeyed all these years. What have I gotten from it? Have I gotten the blessing? Have I gotten this thing? Have I gotten that thing? And we measure whether we're going to obey by what and how we think we've been blessed. Acting like children sometimes. Some of our children do. And sometimes we don't know what's a blessing and what's a curse. I'm reminded of the ancient proverb, which I've enhanced, which tells the story of a poor old farmer who owned one bony plow horse. And the horse helped him to cultivate his rocky field. One spring afternoon, a loud thunderstorm startled the horse, and the horse ran away. The old farmer's friends ran to him, tried to console him, saying, "Oh, we're so sorry about the bad news about your horse, old man. What a misfortune you've had." But the old man said, "Bad news, good news. Who knows? Praise the Lord and give thanks." A few days later, the horse returned, leading a herd of wild horses who had befriended the horse. Again, the friends came running, filled with jubilation and crying, "How wonderful! What good news!" But the old man whispered, "Good news, bad news. Who knows? Praise the Lord and give thanks." Then the next day, when the farmer's son was trying to ride one of the new horses, the young son was thrown to the ground and broke both his legs. The friends gasped, "Oh, we are so sorry about your bad news." The old man stood still and said, "Bad news, good news. Who knows? Praise the Lord and give thanks." Some months later, the entire village went to war, and all the young, able-bodied men were drafted to fight. However, the farmer's son was exempted from the fighting due to his injury, and it brought great shame in his family because his son could not fight in the war. However, due to the ferocity of the war's battles, every young man from that village was killed except for the farmer's son, who became the only young man in the village to live to see an older age. So what's a blessing? When we look at our own narrow sight, we don't know what seems like a blessing now might be a curse later. What seems like a curse now might be a blessing. So it's up to just obey, because there's someone who sees wider than you can see. And he has your best interests at heart. So just obey and give thanks. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And we know that it's better to obey than to do what we think is best. Of course, I'm reminded of over there in 1 Samuel 15, the story of Saul was commanded by the Lord to do something through the prophet Samuel, who said, "Go out and vanquish the enemy and kill all the livestock and everything." And then when Samuel came back to check on what Samuel's done, Saul greeted Samuel and says, "The Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. I've killed everything." And Samuel said, "You've carried out instructions? What then is this bleating of sheep that I hear? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear if you carried out my instructions?" And then Saul went this whole, "Oh, well, I know you asked me to do this, but you know, I thought it would be better rather than go that way if I did this." And Samuel the prophet says, "You know what? To obey is better than sacrifice. I know you thought it was better to save a few of them and to sacrifice them, but that's not what the Lord asked you to do. To obey is better than the sacrifice." And then he goes and says, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination or witchcraft." And we have this spirit of rebellion at times. And when I think about obedience, and when I think about disobedience, you know, sometimes I think about our adolescence. I have one of those now. I've had a couple of those before. And adolescents are very interesting creatures. Very interesting. And when I think about this matter of obeying, sometimes it's a matter of rebellion, and sometimes it's a matter of trust. And as I mentioned, when I think about rebellion, I think about adolescence, and there was this piece I looked up from the Yale New Haven Children's Hospital talking about adolescence. The piece is called Adolescent Rebellion, a Survival Guide for Living with a Teenager. And it says, probably the main task of adolescents in our culture is to develop an independent identity separate from their parents. Teenagers try to establish more adult, less dependent relationships with parents, and this can cause a certain amount of rebellion, yes, defiance, discontent, turmoil, and restlessness. Emotions usually run high, and mood swings are common. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Maybe we are spiritual adolescents at times. Maybe we are seeking to develop an independent identity separate from our father. And that perhaps can be accompanied by a certain amount of rebellion, defiance, discontent, turmoil, restlessness, with emotions running high and mood swings common. Maybe you are, or we are, emotional adolescents, not wanting to be dependent on daddy, wanting to do our own thing. I'm big enough, grown enough to do what I want to do. Why do I need to depend on my father, whether it be physical or spiritual? Because that physical father created you and has your best interest at heart, and that spiritual father created you and can see farther than you could possibly see. So that's the rebellion part. Then there's this whole part of trust. Trust. Sometimes, maybe it's not rebellion, maybe you don't trust your father. Maybe he doesn't want the best for me. Maybe he's holding out. Maybe you're doing the Adam and Eve thing. And when the serpent came and said, did God really say not to eat from that tree? God's trying to hold out from you because God knows if you would eat from that tree, you would know and you would be like him. So God's holding out on you, Adam. Ooh, maybe so. So maybe your problem's not rebellion. Maybe it's trust. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20 says, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, first scripture I ever memorized as a new believer, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. God knows you. There's a song made popular by Israel Houghton, which is entitled, He Knows My Name. And Israel sings, I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand. I have a father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. God knows your name. He knows what he created you for. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. But he concludes all that discussion. He says in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So don't be a spiritual adolescent tied up in rebellion. And don't be a person who's unable to trust. Because God knows your name. And he knows what's in store for you. All you have to do is obey. On three, say obey. One, two, three.
Obey.
Be blessed. Hallelujah.